And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday.
Expository Thursday.
As we work together to know the letter better into the narrative of the Book of Acts, we travel to understand the things the Lord requires of us as we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. First, on a sad note, the Apostle Paul tells the elders, I know I will never see any of you again. Wow. I think it's worth knowing the human plane in this text. The sincerity of this moment will produce tears in the people around him when he finishes his speech. As Christians, we need to be careful to enjoy some of our time that we have now, because there will likely be some sense of separation for a season from some people we really do love. But we can still rejoice that when that season concludes, we'll all be together forever with the Lord and with one another. Next, I wish I could do justice to this portion of text. I am telling you right now, I am unable to. Paul says there's no one's damnation that can be blamed on him. The best phrasing is, I am innocent of all blood. He says, I did not shrink back from declaring all that God wants you to hear. Wow. And finally, keep in mind that Paul is talking to elders, so he tells them to shepherd and feed the flock, the people, take care of the faithful. The Church of Jesus Christ are the people that are purchased by the blood of Jesus, and it's the Holy Spirit who has anointed and appointed these elders to lead. He then closes this portion with one of the saddest elements, telling those very same blessed leaders that false teachers will come in like vicious wolves and distort the truth just in order to get people to follow. Follow Jesus. Listen to what I'm saying. I read this last week, but we never got to it, so we're going to get into it. Follow Jesus. Don't follow movements, and don't follow people. Follow Jesus.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? So you can email us during the show. It's fun. It's an email. It works. Electronic mail. All you got to do is send it to david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. Let me say that again real fast. 972. Okay. Or 972-445-0770. When you call that number, guess what? You'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is the same feeling you get when you are being appreciated. Aww. Aww. Appreciation, brother. Appreciation.
Thank you, David. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you, my friend. We will open this up by telling people I did get just a text from one of our listeners. There, so we prayed for his son the other day, and we had just yesterday prayed for a gentleman, young man named Jamie, and the circumstances between then and now have completely changed, and Jamie is now home, and that's as good as it can get. So we just say thank you, Lord, for helping in circumstances. Let me say this real quickly. people don't realize. I get sad and mad at the same time, so please forgive me. God changes your circumstances. They're not changed to him in the context that he's already got the plan rolling. But you look at it and go, I just don't know. And God can change all that because God is God. And you know how you petition him? You know how you ask him? He responds to that. You know he cares. You know his commitment to you. And he just loves you through it. Answered prayer, by the way, in case we're not going to do this today, but in the Gospel of John, it shows that answered prayer is actually Christian fruit. So you should have fruit in your Christian walk. You get it? Okay, that's just kind of a cool thing. All right, so if you have a prayer request because you need you need your circumstance to change, if you have a praise report because your circumstance did change or it turned out much more favorably than you anticipated, or in your heart and mind, it went away, you didn't see it going, it went better than you thought it could go, in any capacity, you know the Lord was involved in it, share that. Do you have to share it brilliantly? No. But share it because it blesses other people. I can't say that enough. You're looking to be a blessing to other people. Sometimes just sharing what God has done for you is that blessing. I just love stuff like that. Okay, let's back it up. So you can do a prayer request. You can do a praise report. If you got something that's important, you want to share it, something the Lord has shown you. We're trying to stay away, you know, a little bit from kvetchy. There's so much to kvetch about. I feel bad about saying that sometimes, but there is a lot to kvetch about because look around what's going on. You're like going, ay, ay, ay. But in this particular hour and a half, this particular segment, and this particular show, we're trying to do the encouragement thing. That's our goal. So we'll also ask you this question. How about this for a trivia question? Let's see if you can answer this. In the city of Ephesus, who was instructed in the scriptures by Aquila and Priscilla? Aquila, male, and Priscilla, female. Who, in the city of Ephesus, who was instructed by the scriptures by Aquila and Priscilla? Was it Apollos, Paul, or Stephen? Apollos, Paul, or Stephen? If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us. By the way, Acts 18:24, that is going to be where you're heading for. Acts 18:24 reference point. Who was instructed in the scriptures by Aquila and Priscilla? Was it Apollos, Paul, or Stephen? If you think you know the answer, reach out to us. You can call us 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. In the meantime, we're going to do our DNA. We want to give Al props because he got the answer wrong and said, whoop, I missed that one. He was trying to be first, but sometimes first is not the best. That's the answer. In the meantime, we're going to do our DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. I mean, there it is. Every day that ends in Y. Spend some time with the guy in the sky. Bam. How much time? I don't know. Do you have to have the exact set amount? I don't know. If that's what he told you to do, do that. If he didn't tell you to do that, don't do that. But spend some time with the Lord. Now, I do my devotions 6 days a week, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, that's when I go to church, and that's when I do other things, you know, along those lines. Plus, I do some additional show prep. Plus, I do a little, you know, some personal praying where it's not as structured, a little more talking than the praying. Just spend some time every day with the Lord. It will change your life forever. That's D of draw closer to the Lord daily, D of the DNA. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never, never, never be ashamed of what Jesus had to say. But Dave, I don't understand everything. Congratulations. Welcome to Christianity. But as you grow, you learn more and you learn more and you learn more. In the meantime, you trust him that what he has to say matters. I know, Dave, but there's so many translations. Yeah, but there's only one God who wrote the book. Get it? He's way bigger than translations. Come on, people. That's N. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his word. So D, N, and A. Here's the A. Always be ready.
To serve.
To serve. Exactly what Jam and Jacob is saying. Exactly how it's got to be. We have got to understand that if everything we do in our entire existence is centered on us, we are selfish people. People like to hear that. It's like, too bad. That's what Jesus said. You don't get to change that because, you know, you just don't like it. Like, too bad. You have to take your, even if it's prayer, if it's contact, if it's however it works for you, you have to expand it past your own universe. If the only thing you think about is yourself and your life and your troubles and your struggles, the only thing you'll ever think about is your life and your trouble and your struggles. That is not a way to live a life. Jesus said, don't live it that way. Always be ready to serve like Jesus, who gave up everything, lowered himself, humiliated himself to become a human just for our sake. Like, wow, we want that. I want to be a Christian like that, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? I want to follow Jesus. All right. In the city of Ephesus, who was instructed? Forget the where it was. Who was instructed in the scriptures by Aquila and Priscilla? They instructed somebody. Was it Apollos? Was it Paul? Or was it Stephen? If you think you know, Acts 18:24 is a reference point. But you can call us at 972-445-0770. You can text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Okay? Awesome. Awesome. All right. Ready? Ready? Right, ready? You doing all right, Jacob? You all right? You good? Okay.
Yep, doing
okay.
Good.
Okay, just making sure. I do want to check with you. We're not going to do the full Jake's take, but there is a game tonight, isn't there, with the Cowboys? And they're playing Seattle. Aren't they playing Seattle today?
Tonight? Yeah, I think so.
Thursday. Okay, good catch right there. Okay. All right, let's pick it up from the text, Acts chapter 20, and we're at verse 25. This is so sad. I know it doesn't seem sad, but I think it's sad. If you get into Scripture and learn to read that it's not just this rule book, but it's a relationship book, here's how it goes. Dear human race, Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, love God. If you can figure that, if you can catch that, you'll understand why this is sad. Here's Paul. He's talking to the people at Ephesus, the elders, and he says this in verse 25 of Acts 20, and now I know that none of you to whom I've preached the kingdom will ever see me again. If we could get out of the brilliant theological jackets that we all try to wear on a regular basis, and you could hear the human part of what Paul is saying. Have you ever met with somebody and you know that they were getting close to the exit and you knew, I'm not going to see this person again? That's what he's talking about. He knows his time is tight. It ain't going to last. And he's sad, and they're sad. And we find out they're sad because at the end of the chapter, you find out they're crying, okay? And that's one of the main things they're crying about, not about theologies, not about different disagreements, not about, you know, struggling with sin. They're sad, and while that's a genuine struggle, they're sad because they're never going to see this guy that has encouraged them. They're never going to hear him again. They're never going to see him again. They're never going to talk to him again. There'll never be contact with him again the same way there was in this process. And that's sad. And this is where the humanity of Scripture comes through that we miss because we're so focused on, you know, being right instead of being in a right relationship. And here Paul's like, I'll never see you guys again. So you got to remember what I've been sharing. This is the best you got, man. Make it count. If you can catch that, you really will understand that Scripture is not about rules and regulations, but about a living relationship with a living God. Wow. Okay. See, Jam and Jacob knows. He's even got the pink ping pong ball ready to go.
I'm ready to throw it.
All right. In the city of Ephesus, who was instructed in the scriptures by Aquila and Priscilla? Was it Apollos, Paul, or Stephen? And the answer is Apollos. He was instructed into the way of the Lord more profoundly or deeply through Aquila and Priscilla. Good job, everybody. Take our break, then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there, it's Amazing Jennifer, and I am helping out the David Spoon Experience. As you may know, I basically run the KAAM radio station.
Amazing!
And Dr. Dave is looking for a few good people to join and become representatives, ambassadors, and stewards of this here radio ministry. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to get involved, but I'm not very qualified for ministerial positions. Well, the truth is that because you are a child of our Heavenly Father, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to be a part of this ministry. But Jennifer, don't I need to be perfect? No. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website, and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Just fill out the form and we will reach out to you. But sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position. You are on your own with that.
The David Spoon Experience.
Again, Dr. Robert Jeffress. Doctor, are you there with us?
I'm here with you, David.
I'm so glad that you're here. I got to ask you this question. I get a little fiery, especially when Christians are being accused of things that are false, and that happens all the time, especially in the media. And I think if you remember our very first time we ever talked, I told you how impressed I was with you that you are able to keep your spirit steady.
Well, I appreciate that so much. You're a good friend.
I appreciate that. Here's the thing that drives me absolutely batty, which is where I need your help now. I understand this situation with Tim Tebow. He was going to do a dedication for you. He got a lot of pressure, apparently, from the media. The media accused you of being homophobic and anti-Semitic, which for me, I mean, It was. I guess when I first heard it, I was overwhelmed. First of all, anti-Semitic is a person who discriminates against or is prejudiced or hostile towards Jews. You've been on my show. Now, this is three time, and I'm as Jewish as they come.
Yeah, well, David, I mean, the charge of anti-Semitic comes from saying that everyone, including Jews, must trust in Christ in order to go to heaven. That is hardly anti-Semitic. In fact, I have a Jewish friend in New York who called me this week. She's not a Christian, but she said, I don't understand all of this. Said, I don't believe in the New Testament, but you do. You're simply saying what the New Testament says. And, you know, David, we've said before, you know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I remind people, Jesus was not a Southern Baptist evangelist. He was a Jewish rabbi. And yet you look at what he said, what the Apostle Paul said, the Apostle Peter. Here are the three most prominent men of the New Testament, every one of them a devout Jew, and yet they said there's one way to God, and that's through faith in Christ. That is not anti-Semitic.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. This is KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. If you're in San Diego, it should be 12:19. If you're in Dallas, it should be 2:19. How's that? If you're in, if you're in New York, it should be, what, 3:19? Is that what that is? Are they an hour later? Yeah, they're like an hour later or something like that. I don't know. What am I?
Hour or two later? I'm not sure.
No, I don't know. What am I, a clock? Okay. We'll give everybody.
Time is hard. Yeah.
Time. Numbers are difficult. Give you a quick weather report. There is weather. Okay, great. All right. Yeah, here's your next trivia. That was it. That was all I was giving anybody.
It sounds like it's raining right now.
It's been raining in Dallas for a while.
Yeah, I can kind of hear it. It sounds like it's raining outside right now.
Yeah, okay.
There's your weather report.
Yeah. There it is. Hey, if it's raining out, then it's wet. Okay, go. All right, there you go. Do you know what you don't call a day with no sunshine? Do you know what to call a day with no sunshine? You know what to call it? Night. Okay. Anyhow, yes, I didn't make that up, but it is funny. What was Bartimaeus' illness? In Mark chapter 10, verse 46 and 47, Bartimaeus had an illness. What was Bartimaeus' illness? Was it blindness, deafness, or leprosy? Blindness, deafness, or leprosy? What was Bartimaeus' illness? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Joanne has confirmed to us, just so you can know, because she was born in New York. I did not know that they are 1 hour later than us. So if it's 219 now or 220 now here in Dallas, it's 320 there over there in New York. There you go. Those are the facts.
You got it right.
Okay. Yeah. That was a good guess. I got to start working on that. Okay, so you got to tell me, what was Bartimaeus' illness? Was it blindness, deafness, or leprosy? If you think you know, reach out to us and let us know, 972-445-0770, or text 214-210-8483, or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. In the meantime, we are going to do Jake's take, because there is some news we have to bring forward, so let's do that. The floor is yours, Jake.
So we have a big game tonight with the Dallas Cowboys at home taking on the Seattle Seahawks.
Now Dallas is looking pretty strong, right?
Yes.
I mean, they've been looking really good. How does Seattle look? Because they're kind of a cagey team, aren't they?
Yeah, Seattle's pretty good. They're not as good a record as the Cowboys right now, but they're looking like they could possibly make playoffs. We'll see, but they're not a bad team.
Okay.
So definitely better than the Commanders and Giants, which were the last two Cowboys opponents.
Yes, well, scoring 45 points against a team, I'm not saying a word about
that.
We'll
see if that happens tonight. I don't think it will, but I do think the Cowboys will win tonight.
We'll prevail. Now, that puts them in a pretty good spot, right? I mean, they're just closely connected, very close to Philadelphia. Right,
they're just trying to, trying to, you know, not get too far behind the Philadelphia Eagles, because they keep winning. They only have one loss.
Yeah, that's amazing. All right, and then what else is going on? You got a college game.
And then we also, the Texas Longhorns, for anyone that's a Longhorns fan, big game Saturday at the Cowboys Stadium, I believe, taking on the Oklahoma State Cowboys for the Big 12 Championship. Conference championship on the line, but also, too, if Texas wins Saturday, there's a possibility they get into the top four playoffs.
Yep. Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
We'll have
to
see.
That is pretty impressive. I didn't know that.
Yep. We'll have to. They're right outside the top four right now, but with Oregon and Washington both in the top four and playing each other tomorrow night, whoever loses that will be out of it. So Texas could possibly take that spot of the loser of that game. So we'll see what happens. Find out Sunday morning.
Yep.
Who makes the top four?
Very cool. All right. Good information. Good job on Jake's take. You're doing a really good job on that. I just want to say.
Thank you.
Good work. We try to keep in touch with most things. Some things. Okay. A few things every once in a while. Your question, in case you forgot it already, what was Bartimaeus' illness? Was it blindness, deafness, or leprosy? Your reference point, Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 47. If you have a chance to reach out to us, do it, 972-445-0770, or text in 214-210-8483, or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org, and to the text we go. Now that we've got through that little sad part, and that was sad because I think it's sad. Now that Paul goes, now I know that none of you to whom I have preached the kingdom will ever see me again. But verse 26, but let me say plainly that I have been faithful. No one's damnation can be blamed on me, for I didn't shrink from declaring all that God wants for you. I could take this all the way till 3 o'clock and do 10 more shows on this one principle, but let's just deal with this one thing. Paul is just straight out saying it. He's not even pulling it back. He's just telling people, look, you know what? If you don't make it, you can't blame me. That's what he's saying. You can try and, you know, couch it, and you can try and make it sound different, or you can, you know, you can do all those different things, but you know what he's saying? Hey, guess what? You know what? Your damnation can't be blamed on me. You're not going to go to hell because I didn't tell you about it. You can't say I didn't warn you. I don't think that, by the way, that statement's true for a lot of Christians who are afraid to tell somebody they might go to hell because they're afraid that that person might reject them. I understand that, and I understand not everybody's got that same spirit that Paul had. He had a relentless, absolutely spirit-empowered, fire-breathing kind of spirit, just told people all the time. But he's making sure they know nobody is going to miss the journey in because I didn't tell you. That ain't going to happen. That by itself is so much to digest. I am guilty 1,000 times over for pulling it back when I could, when I didn't have to. And everybody kind of pulls back a little. Even Peter pulled back when he was supposed to affirm Christ, and he denies Christ. So don't be, you know, weirding out on that. A lot of people go through that, and you grow in that, and you develop, and then you pray, the next time, Lord, let me do better. The next time, let me do better. The next time, let me do better. You don't heap guilt on yourself. You don't let the devil heap guilt on you. You tell the Lord, that probably didn't go as good as you probably wanted, or maybe it didn't go the way that you wanted me to do it, and let me do it better next time. You don't live in the, if only. You live in the next time. You don't live your life by going, if only this would have happened. If only I would have said this. If only this person would have done this. That's living with regret. You say, next time, Lord, I'll do better. Next time, help me. Next time, guide me. That's how you do it. But that's not even the big part of the text, which is amazing, right? Verse 27 in Acts chapter 20. For I didn't shrink from declaring all that God wants for you to do. In other texts, it says, I didn't shrink back from declaring the full counsel of God. I want to tell you something as a teacher. I've done a lot of teaching. Okay? I mean, a lot. Okay? I mean, a lot of sermons. Okay? Way over 10,000. Okay? Maybe I can stop saying okay for a while. That'd be good. Here's the ticket. There are times when you're teaching where you know you can say that next thing and it's not going to be as cheery as other things. And you actually have to discipline yourself to say, no, I'm not holding it back. Not everybody likes every, you know, people heap unto themselves teachers, the people do it who have itching ears. They want their ears to be tickled. They want to hear everything is great and everything is perfect. We do a lot of encouragement on this show, but we also do encouragement in the face of the reality that we go through trials, we go through temptations, we go through struggles, we go through failures, we're fighting against our old nature, we're fighting against the world system, and we're fighting against Satan, and there's sometimes we come out of those wars a little more bloodied than we want to, a little more beat up than we want to. We don't like it. It doesn't work really well, and we know we need grace and mercy and healing and kindness. Hey, you know what? That's the walk. Through many tribulations, one must enter the kingdom of God. Anybody that's preaching this cherry type of walk that everything's perfect has lost their mind. There's nothing in Scripture that gives you that. Yes, it will become good. But in order to become good, sometimes it starts off not so good. That's the truth. And so what you need to know is every teacher goes through that. And by the grace of God, most teachers just push past. Not all, but most just say, nah, I got to tell you everything. I got to give you the full counsel. Listen, this is a phenomenal, phenomenal piece of good news. God loves you so much that Jesus Christ died for your sins. That by believing in Jesus, coming before him and surrendering your heart to him, by asking for forgiveness and asking for help, by asking for him to be the Lord and Savior of your life, by doing that one thing, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is thrust upon you in the mind and the heart of God. That is the greatest news ever. With that great news is the reality that you have a terrible enemy, a whole bunch of multitudes that can't stand you, and your own old person trying to claw its way back up. That's the truth. And you can either say, nope, I'm gonna move forward in the Lord, or you can bail. That's the truth. Get that? All right. Trivia. So I got to make sure. See? Look at he's. See, I gave permission to Jacob to throw the pink ping pong ball if I forget trivia. Remember the pink ping pong ball?
It's now in my hands at all times. I'm ready to throw it.
What was Barnabas's illness? Was it blindness, deafness, or leprosy? Well, being that he was known as Blind Barnabas, we're going to say it was blindness. That was the illness, just in case you didn't know that. That is the answer. We're going to take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at year end indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can, right here on KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question, and it is not an easy question. It's not necessarily a hard question. It's just not an easy question. Who prophesied before and during Israel's captivity in Babylon? Was it Daniel, Jeremiah, or Haggai? 2 Chronicles 36:21. Who prophesied before and during Israel's captivity in Babylon? Was it Daniel, Jeremiah, or Haggai? If you have an answer, you can reach out to us a couple different ways. You can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. That was the question: who prophesied before and during Israel's captivity in Babylon? Was it Daniel, Jeremiah, or Haggai? In the meantime, I'm going to send you up to the website, as we often do at this particular time. Encourage you to check out for it. So there's a praise report form. There's prayer request form. It's really easy. You just type in what the praise report is or the prayer request is if you don't want to do it, and then you say whether you want it to be shared or want it to be private for prayer requests. Additionally, there is access to over it's about 4,500 hours of lots of stuff. Podcasts, and then there's articles, and there's videos, and there's audios, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff, as well as an opportunity if you want to be ambassador for the show. We give people, send people brochures. You don't have to have an account. What'd you do with this one? What'd you do this one? We give it to you, no charge, no anything, and we just trust that you'll use it as the Lord wants you to use it. That's how it is. You can get all the info on the site, plus an opportunity to give, which right now is pretty good because we could use that. Everything's a little tight for us. That's okay. We'll get through it all, and we'll do it. And if you can help us do it, great. And if you can't, don't worry. Just keep praying for us. Check all this stuff out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
Yeah, that's what I said this morning when I woke up and got out of bed. That's not actually what I said when I woke up and got out of bed, because Noelle had to get up early because she had a couple of days off, and then she had to get up and get really early. And then Bert was like, "You have to be up when Mom is up."
That's what Bert said?
Yeah.
Yep, instead.
Yeah. He said that by going to the door, and see, you guys don't understand this, so I should explain this. You know how you have so some door knobs are round. Right? And then other doorknobs are the longer, like, latch kind of door, mm-hmm. right? We have the latch ones. Well, Bert knows how to open the door. He puts his paw on it. I mean, yep. he's just a master at it. He can open any door in the house. So she'll close the door so I can keep sleeping, and then Bert goes over and opens the – we actually have to put a chair in there sometimes. It's so funny to keep Bert away from it. But Bert puts his hand on the little thing, and then pushes the door open with his nose at the same time, and then comes up and sits there and looks at you. And if you don't get up, he just barks. And then when you get up, he starts bouncing up and down. You know, he's a unique dog. Okay.
Right. It's funny seeing your dog. Like, it's like 2 in the afternoon. They haven't done anything. And then you see him yawn just to lay down and take a nap. It's like, oh, life's so exhausting doing nothing.
It's really hard sitting on this couch. Thanks. Okay, let me give you this. This is a cute joke, just a quick joke. We haven't done one for a while. And then we'll get into the teaching. Here it is. Ready? This is tech support and a customer. Okay, so you understand where this is going. Tech support and a customer. Tech support. I need you to right click. Customer. Okay. Okay. Tech support. Did you get a pop-up menu? Customer. No. Tech support. Okay, right click again. Do you see a pop-up menu? The customer. No. Tech support. Okay, sir, can you tell me what you've done up to this point? The customer. Sure. You told me to right click, so I wrote down the word click. Yay! Come on, that's a good one, right? That ain't that bad. All right, let's get to the don't forget the trivia question. Who prophesied during Israel's captivity in Babylon? Was it Daniel, Jeremiah, or Haggai? Your reference point would be Chronicles 36:21. If you need a reference point, you can call us 972-445-0770. Text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. That changes. And Paul's I'm never going to see you again. But just keep this in mind. I'm not responsible for anybody going to hell. And in fact, I told you everything God wanted me to tell you. I didn't hold anything back. Verse 28. And now beware. So now Paul's teaching moves into a warning. Be sure that you feed and shepherd God's flock, his church purchased with his blood, over whom the Holy Spirit has appointed you as elders. I know full well that false teachers, like vicious wolves, will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. Oh, man. All right, let's break it down just a little bit. Paul says, I beware of this, okay? You are supposed to feed and shepherd God's flock. When it says feed the flock, it obviously means feeding them the word, feeding them spiritual nutrition. When it says shepherd, it does not mean to control. It means that, this is an argument that many ministers have. Ministers think they have this unlimited control in people's lives. That is absolutely ridiculous. It's just absurd. They can guide you using their shepherd stick. They can, you know, kind of go this way, go this way, direct you. You're going to still have to be the one that responds. But these people who are leaders in your life, there's first thing to recognize. They're leaders and they're supposed to feed God's flock. God's flock is called his church. God's church is defined by those who have been purchased by the blood of Jesus. Is everybody a part of his church? No. Narrow is the path that leads to life. Wide is the road to destruction. No, not everybody is. Was everybody who goes to church, are they therefore, you know, does that mean that they're because they go to church? No. Billy Sunday was the first one to say it. You can, you know, walk, you know, you can walk through a garage and you know, just like walking through a garage doesn't make you a car any more than going to church makes you a Christian. Just like, okay, that's just obvious. The church was purchased with his blood. The reason I want to bring this up is because there are a lot of different denominations and people have different preferences and different things they like. Fantastic. Talking about the people of God who have been purchased by the blood of Jesus in a negative context because they're a different denomination is stupid. David, you should never use that word stupid. It's stupid. Don't do it. They're the people of God. Don't talk about other people that have a different denominational twist than you do. Who cares? If they're purchased by the blood of the Lamb, they're your brother or sister. And you might not agree on everything, but you're going to the same place and you're going to spend eternity together. So stop that. That stuff's got to stop. And then he's very clear. Paul says it's the Holy Spirit that has appointed you as elders. It's not just people don't just get to choose to be elders. This has to be an agreement and partnership with God. And then he says this, and this is the part you can't miss. I know full well that false teachers like vicious wolves will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. There are people that come in and it's vicious. I mean, they're just, you know, I would not say every church split is that, but I would say that those people come in and the last part we'll talk about what is they're specifically trying to do. But you have to be aware that people who come in and people who teach, if they're creating problems because they're teaching, that's not a good thing. We're supposed to be strengthening and feeding and shepherding and blessing and encouraging and correcting and sometimes rebuking and sometimes disciplining. But it is not about, it's not about creating divisions. In fact, divisions is one of the works of the flesh, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. And there's teachers that are come in, and people that don't know the word will get teared up, eaten to pieces. He says they're going to come in like wolves, like vicious wolves, and they're not going to spare anything. They'll take and manipulate whatever they can. That's why we all need to be grounded in the word. That's why we need to have our BFN in the book.
BFN?
Our big fat nose. Got to keep it in the book so we can know what's going on. God created the universe. He can write a book. Who prophesied before and during Israel's captivity in Babylon? Who prophesied before and during Israel's captivity in Babylon? And the answer is, the question was Daniel, Jeremiah, or Haggai? And the answer is Jeremiah. That is who prophesied before and during the captivity. We'll take our short break. Then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Here is a DDD entitled Custom Eyeglasses Used on Others. Custom eyeglasses used on others. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 9. So Saul watched David jealously from that day forward. Stop. There it is. So Saul watched David jealously from that day forward. How do we see people in our lives? Saul saw David through jealous glasses. He put on these glasses. They weren't the ones from the Lord, right? They were glasses that had much more flesh in them, and then everything was tainted. This is what happens to you and I, and let's just do the honest, you know, those honest moments where we put on our glasses regarding some people, because almost every time we get a communication from them, there's just something coming that's you just know, this is going to be lousy. I haven't even opened it. I'm already dreading it, right? Have you ever gone through that, right? Or every time this person texts me, I'm not smiling after I read it, or something along those lines. And it could be somebody who, you know, has got a spirit of complaining. It could be somebody that's got a spirit of pride. It could be any of those things, right? And you're just like going, oy vey, right? But you're not saying it much, but you know how you're seeing it. And that's custom glasses. You've already put the glasses on. You've already determined how it's going to be. You're already seeing it through that slant. It's not that they've never done anything. It's just that you and I tend to stay in those zones and see people that way. And so no matter what was going to happen with Saul and King Saul and David, David was going to impute evil motives to Saul's actions. I've gone through this with a professor. I'm just confessing. Right? I had a professor before we started the radio show, and my buddy in the process was a pastor, was my like a schoolmate, and he would write me and go, why does she, you know, jump on you like that? I mean, he was asking me, right? And I'm like, every time this statement, I just instead of having any kind of change of heart or mercy, I was mad. My anger did not work the righteousness of God. And sometimes people do that because of other reasons. It's not because of you. And we need to do a better job of not wearing custom glasses where we see the downside on people. So the question to ask is, what kind of glasses do we use with others? And are those glasses approved prescription glasses from God?
And if you can't shout sight,
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Here comes your final trivia question, and it is a classic. Jesus gave the name Boanerges to James and John, the sons of Zebedee. What did it mean? Did it mean after God's heart, sons of thunder, or dukes of hazard? What did that name, Boanerges, what did that mean when Jesus gave that to James and John? Did that mean that they were after God's heart, the sons of thunder, or the dukes of hazard? That's your opportunity to answer. If you want to, you can call. There's our call, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So Jesus called these guys Boanerges, and what was he meaning? Was he meaning they were the Dukes of Hazzard, the sons of thunder, or after God's heart? Okay. All right. Jeanette wants to know how you spell that. Boanerges. Boanerges. Okay. And if it's pronounced differently, nah, I don't care. That word, Boanerges. Okay. All right. Somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Gary. How are you doing?
Well, about the same, but I'm going to keep praying.
And we're going to keep praying for you, and I'm glad you called in. So, all right, let's do the triv question, and you got to give me the chance to ask all of them because it's that's the only funny part of the whole thing. Jesus gave the name Boanerges to James and John, sons of Zebedee. What did it mean? Did it mean after God's heart, sons of thunder, or dukes of hazard?
Sons of thunder.
That is correct, Amanda! So if you study it, you find out that about 90% of the commentators think that that was kind of like a humorous thing. There's a couple think that was really serious. And it's like, nah, I think he was like going like, okay, sons of thunder, sure. Okay, I think it was much more like that. But that's besides the point. Let me pray for you. And I just want to pray the Lord bless you and heal you and touch you. So let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. And thank you for our brother Gary. We ask you to bless him in many, many ways. But, Lord, he needs healing in his body by the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't make it happen. Nobody can make anything happen. You can heal him. And we are asking you, we're petitioning you. You're willing and you're full of compassion. And, Lord, if our faith isn't as strong as it needs to be, then help us to raise our faith. Because we believe you heal. And we ask you to heal Gary in the name of Jesus. And that there would be a change in his body, in his mind, in his spirit, and in his existence. And he would know it's by the power that comes from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Didn't you have a grandson that was ill?
Yes. So I have multiple. Easton, he had the surgery, and then they just got the cast off, and now the new prayer devotion has to do with him having the bone he had a hip surgery, that it would grow correctly because it had grown incorrectly from his birth.
And what is your grandson's name so I can pray for him?
Easton.
What is it?
Easton. It's like Easton. Easton.
Easton.
Yep, that's his name.
Okay, well, I'll pray for him and all of you.
All right, thank you, brother. I greatly appreciate that.
Okay, God bless you. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye. Okay, we only have a little bit of time, so we're going to dive right into the Word because this little bit's really important, and we'll have to do history. And history is history. Okay, that's fine. All right, here we go. So we just talked about being aware that vicious false teachers will come in. And verse 30 kind of breaks it down, verse 30 and 31 of Acts 20. It says this, even some of you will distort the truth. Listen to what he says. In order to draw a following, watch out. Remember the 3 years I was with you, my constant watch and care over you night and day, and my many tears for you. Paul cares deeply about these people. He's very concerned that some people are going to get tossed and in that process because distorted teachings are going to come through. And then he says this, which is an amazing statement. He goes, even some of you, even some who are kind of standing here and saying you're with me and you're going to do this, they distort the truth in order to draw a following. Anybody who changes, and we've talked about this before in regards to the, you know, people changing their scriptural belief because a family member changes and becomes LGBTQRST or any other thing. It's like anybody who changes the truth and then in doing that is trying to create people to follow them. They're not only are they breaching the actual word of God, they're causing other people to believe lies. And Paul he's deeply concerned about this. Now, you know there's going to be some people that are flashy and come and do that, but he's concerned that that's going to happen internally in this group that he's with, that they'll distort the truth in order to draw a following. Hey, first of all, you and I are not good enough for other people to copy in the capacity that apart from Christ, there's nothing in us to copy. You don't want more people like you. I don't want more people like me. I'm obnoxious. If there was another me on the planet, I'd be pretty concerned. We want to be like Jesus. We want other people to be like Jesus. We want everybody making that their target. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. If he's not following Christ, then you don't follow him. And so he's very concerned that these people are going to lose that and going to lose the truth. And in that truth, they're trying to draw people. And what kind of truth do people present that draws more people in and distorts the truth? Truth that accepts sin, or truth that's presented that accepts sin, which is not accurate. Truth that accepts everybody without any challenging anything, even though Jesus told the woman who was caught, go and sin no more. See, nobody wants to talk about that part of the passage. Oh, Jesus forgave her, yeah, but then he said, go and sin no more. And when Jesus first started teaching, and when John the Baptist first started teaching, when Peter first started teaching, when Paul first started teaching, they all said, repent, 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 repent. Nobody wants to talk about that. Well, love is love. No, it's not. Even Jesus was specific, as many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. It's like, no, no, no. You stand by the truth. The word of God is, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. And to sanctify means to set apart. Set them apart in your truth. Your word is truth. That's what distinguishes. And we can't afford not only to follow somebody that distorts, we can't allow ourselves to distort the word in order for us to feel good about something. No, 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 no. God knows what he was doing. God declared what he was doing when he wrote the word. Didn't make a mistake, nothing wrong, nothing in error. It's how we use it that becomes the error. May it only be for us to draw closer to the Lord and help others draw closer to the Lord, and for nothing else. Because when we use it for something else, for some type of gain or for some type of advantage, we're not only insulting God, we're heaping judgment upon ourselves. Bad call. Get it? All right, we're done for today. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. 22 and a half hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. Destroying everyone and
everything he finds. He's the hungry giant. The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.